Spark a conversation, verbal elation, stimulation, education. This is Minaj with the Mary Jane Maven. When we on the air, it's always a lituation. Might talk about some litigation, might talk about some immigration, might talk about some politics, but never talking nonsense. Yes, we on in the slide. Watch and listen, it's a vibe. Watch it while you getting high, or you can listen while you drive. Just don't forget to subscribe.
Roll up. I'm trying to get high.
Welcome to Menage the Mary Jane Maven podcast with your host, the Mary Jane Maven. I am the producer, the hubby. Follow us on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Show us some love and click that subscribe button now. Don't forget to click the bell so you get notifications and click the like button on the videos.
And now, your host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new podcast. This podcast has been created because of a collaboration, universal divine intervention and a meeting up of two souls that has really ventured into a different space within content creation and within podcasts. We both have a presence within the space, both within the cannabis realm. And this podcast, which is called Music and Mary Jane, also fits right along with that. So I do want to go ahead and get started because there is a very good topic that's going on in the world of music, as we all know right now. If you don't know, I don't know what you're doing. Like, are you one of those weird people that say you don't like music? Because if you don't know, I don't know. But so my name is the Mary Jane Maven. I am a cannabis educator, speaker, podcaster. I have a media company. I am a brand educator, and I am someone who is living within their passion and purpose as long as I'm doing something within the cannabis space to help others educate, eradicate, and elevate their lives and their lifestyle. And the beautiful young woman, next to me here, as proverbial next to me. She's in a completely different other state, but that is a different episode where we can talk about collaboration and cannabis and how we've made this connection over thousands of miles. But this is going to be my co-host here. And co-host, I can go ahead and continue talking as we know that I can. But won't you go ahead and, you take the mic and you let people know a little bit about you and who you are.
What's up, everybody? My name is Shelly Blaze. I'm a content creator mostly over on Instagram and on YouTube. You can find my channels at Shelly Blaze on YouTube and follow me on Instagram if you want. I do content creation for Black women and parents in the cannabis space. I started because I didn't see anybody in that space and I wanted to be a voice and a face for other moms so that they can know that their cannabis use while being parents is okay. And yeah, I'm here to, make a point and create a space for myself and women alike and men too. Thanks for having me on this show and be your co-host. I'm very happy to do this with you.
Thank you. This has been about half a year in the making. She was a guest co-host on my podcast, Menage with the Mary Jane Maven, about a year ago. I will say that I'm very happy to break my sabbatical of about 6 months of with Menage with Mary Jane Maven and putting out new content and be able to kind of break this, sabbatical or a drought that I found myself in due to some other reasons, but I'm happy to do that with you. This is something that we've been talking about for a while. Life happens, but it lets you know that when it's supposed to happen, it will happen.
So this was, like I said,
a divine intervention, a divine plan by universe. And we were going to be able to bring you this content, whether it was going to be, tonight or 6 months from now. But I'm happy that it's now. This podcast is the fact that we are mothers, we are wives, we are women that are working in this industry and also working on ourselves. So sometimes some of what will happen will be real life, So there's going to be knocks on the door, from our children. Or I'm going to be very honest, I have to take a pee break at least twice a podcast episode. So that may happen. We don't know. But, like I said, this episode is really rooted in the fact that I remember we having a conversation in your episode where we talked about music. And I remember talking about Russ. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about Big Sean, But we were talking about just like our favorite songs. I had, you know, a segment, Slap of the Week. What to you? Do you like to smoke to? What song is killing you right now? Like, just it's everything is just embodying you. You're embodying it. You're just your succubus of this music. And we started kind of talking about it. And it got us on the subject of how nice it is to be able to be elevated and then make that connection with the song. Or, you know, it brings up a nostalgic meaning, or it reminds you of a certain time in your life that you're just all of a sudden transferred back to. And that is what kind of was the catalyst of this podcast, because I really wanted to become, I became very interested in the science behind whether or not there was a scientific, you know, proof that music and Mary Jane go so well together, or is it just me, you know, or is it just people being high? What is it? And it actually is a scientific fact. I don't know where you guys live, but science is everything. Okay.
Yes,
it is everything. And the fact that we're able to back up what we know and what we believe in within this industry and within this community, the fact that we can't back it up with science is huge, because that's something that's going to help normalize cannabis and normalize people being able to use it whichever way they see fit. You know, maybe you only smoke and then turn on some records. Do you, you know, whatever.
Cannabis helps people become more creative, especially if you're already a creative person. I know every time before I make music, I like to have a sesh, and it just brings out my flow and brings me closer to the sound.
Yeah, 1,000%. So I love that. So we're going to talk about your music too. We'll talk about that in an episode. I'm going to go ahead and jot that down. So let me talk a little bit about the actual scientific proof and facts between what music and Mary Jane or weed actually does. So let me pull up my little, I've written an article, or we can give ChatGPT some of the credit for this article here. But it's when I read this, when I read it, it spoke just volumes to me. And the reason why is because it just, once I said it, it just kind of proves what we already know and what we already feel. Now, if I can find it, that'd be fantastic. I wrote this a while ago. Let's see here. Excuse me. Where is that? Did I go ahead and share that? Okay, so here we go. So music and cannabis have always had a strong connection. Recent research, that's the word, is showing that there is more to their relationship than just nostalgia. Studies have shown that cannabis has the ability to enhance creativity. Genius just said that. Allowing people to explore new avenues in music and sound. So music lovers are turning to cannabis as a way of unlocking the creative potential and discovering new ways of expressing themselves musically. So sidebar, I don't know if you guys, if you've ever seen Walk the Line, Walk Hard. Yeah, with Will Ferrell, right? No, John O'Reilly, where he's going through being a musician. And he's going from like the time of jazz all the way through probably like the 70s. And he gets addicted every time that he's introduced to like a new drug. So weed, which is not a drug, but I can't remember the comedian's name, the black comedian, Tim something maybe. But he's like, he walks in and like there, it's a bunch of jazz players. Like, let's just say his band members or, you know, are in a room at a, you know, a CD backstage kind of like 1940s kind of club, and he walks in and they're smoking weed, and they're like, what is that? And he goes, you don't want any of this. This is going to make you creative. And like, there you go, the Dewey Cox story. That's right. He's like, no, Dewey, you don't want any of this.
That scene.
So that is, it's crazy, because if you really look back into a lot of, you know, the stars and those that really helped to create the genre of, you know, jazz into now, because as we all know, and if we don't know, we should know, all music is pretty much, well, not pretty much, but is inspired and it started by people of color, predominantly.
Oh, yes.
Especially American music is, you know, from black people. So that's funny just to say that we know back then, Billie Holiday, who was the saxophone player? Whose jaws, or his cheeks would get hella big. Dizzy Gillespie? Was it Dizzy Gillespie? Yeah. So just they all have either to have a song about weed and talked about the creativity that, as you know, it's instilled in them all the way through the Beatles and Dizzy Gillespie. Yeah. The Beatles. And just you look back in, you know, 60s, 70s, especially when there's that kind of freedom movement. And yeah, we smoke weed and it is what it is. And we do other drugs. A lot of that, you know, creativity or a lot of those songs, you know, were rooted within cannabis. So as I was reading, there is a scientific, you know, proof about it that your auditory system, it actually becomes better. It increases. So that's why sometimes you may feel like you're within the music. You know, do you ever feel like they're talking to you? You can really relate to what they're saying and what they're, you know, the sounds, the track. I the way that I listen to music is I break it down from the track, you know, the lyrics. My husband can definitely tell you there are songs that I thought for years I was singing the right lyrics and not at all. And I'm like, what have I been grooving to for all these years? But it's been, you know, my connection with it and just the feel and the vibe of it. What do you have like in a very strong kind of memory, or do you have a song that, like us, we talked about it before, that kind of takes you back, you know, the nostalgia and an example of what Mary Jane and music does for you?
One story that comes to mind, and it has to do with my husband, actually, when we first got together, one of our favorite songs, and I think I told you this in the other episode, but one of our favorite songs was a song by The Weeknd, and it was called Rolling Stone. And I remember, like, when I listen to that song now, it always brings me back to being in the Bay Area, driving on the bridge at night on my way home to either his house or back to my house, you know, and us just having a moment together and really being in tune. And the way that I listen to music is I don't always necessarily listen to the lyrics. I mostly connect with the actual beat of the song. You know, I love the way how when you listen to a beat, and especially freestylers, if I listen to a beat, I can actually match the words with the sound without even having to listen to the whole entire beat first. And I know when the beat's going to drop. I know when it's going to hit hard. Because you can feel it. Like, music is ingrained in us. You know, especially for those who are creative. We can just feel it in our bones and in our veins. And that's one of the reasons why I love music so much. And I feel so connected. It can make you happy. It can make you sad. Like, you can really feel it, you know, depending on what the mood is.
And I have to say, culturally, and I don't want to just completely, you know, stereotype or say this is how it is, but I think a lot of our culture, I mean, play a Frankie Beverly and Maze song. You have some, I don't care who, what age you are. I mean, okay, I'll say you have to be probably late millennials and later to, or above that. So Gen X, to really appreciate and to have like a memory of being at a barbecue. Or maybe your uncle played that. Or, you know what I'm saying? September, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I think that's probably much more than just Black culture. But we all have a connection to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's those songs that you heard. For example, Poetic Justice, the barbecue scene. They played that entire 7-minute, maybe 10-minute scene was full of just exactly what family reunions are. You know, family reunions in the park. You know, Black people getting together and having a barbecue, a baby shower, whatever it is. A lot of that comes from the experiences that you have too. So I also think that's something that makes it super strong. But I like what you said, because I still hear 21 questions at 50 Cent. And I remember exactly the day that my husband called me and was like, we weren't husband and wife then, but told me like, I heard a song, you know, and you got to hear it. It reminds me of you. And I was like, I still to this day remember that. Like, my children even know that's our song, you know, so. There's some importance to that. But I like what you said about, you know, the beat, because that definitely leads us into what the topic of this main topic of this episode is going to be. You know, I, instead of really kind of going, this is what this podcast is going to be about. It's pretty damn simple, guys. Weed and music. All right. So we're going to talk about what's going on with the music. We're going to talk about, you know, maybe they'll be the best R&B artist of the 90s. Maybe another one will be, you know, crunk, you know, music. Because the other day I was listening or watching something about Little John, and I was like, God damn, he was a lot of my college. And that was a lot of shit talking we basically did, because that's all it was. You know what I'm saying? Like, just challenging people. Bia, like all that shit. So it may be something like that. It may be around, you know, Grown and Sexy Night. I do want to say I loved your content, which is a shout out to go and view her content that you did with you and your husband recently. And your husband had some edibles. I'm not going to say too much more than that, but go and check it out, guys. All right. If you're part of the couple where one of you is a smoker and the other one not so much, but maybe you can, you know, get them to drink a little drink or take an edible one time, or, you know, let them take a charge from you.
I do want to say that
episode you have to see.
That was something really special. Like the fact that he is not a smoker, but he's willing to at least take edibles with me. Like that makes us, we have such a bond when we do that together. Yeah. And we'll sit here and watch TVs, listen to music. We'll just have a good time.
And just have conversations and just chill with each other. And what I loved about it is that he's supporting you and what you're doing, your content creation. Like he could easily said, I'm not, tell a story about it. He could easily said that. But you know, the fact that he went all in, that is a big thing. That's super awesome. So I don't want to ruin it because, you know, it's like a spoiler to, you know, a Marvel movie or something right now. But you guys definitely go out. You're going to have to go onto her channel and check that out. It's something definitely. And then her dabbing episode, you guys definitely, because that one I was weak as fuck. She was so high. But I don't want to ruin it either. But that one was a good one, too. I was actually going to say, let's start this episode with a dab. But because I was so late, I was like, let's not do that. Or this will be going to like midnight. But this episode we are going to talk about, like I said, what you guys should all already know, what, you know, everybody's reacting to. I think we're all waiting patiently for the response that should be coming. So talking about music, talking about tracks, let's go ahead and talk about what it probably of 2024 is probably going to be the hardest song to come out, and that's Like That by Future and Metro Boomin.
I mean,
even just saying it, I have chills. It is damn near flawless as far as the production. So we'll start with Metro Boomin. We'll start with just the track itself. You know, Future sounds the same on everything. Let's respectfully. But he killed it with that one. What did you think about it?
The song, okay. I'm not gonna lie, I definitely ignored the Future part a little bit because, like you said, he does sound the same on every freaking song he's on. But when it came to Kendrick Lamar's verse, like you can feel it in his, you can feel what he feels in his soul about how he feels about him being, you know, better than the top three. The fact that he called these guys a bum, like he was not afraid. And after watching the videos and then seeing it, the diss track come back 2024, I'm like, oh my god, I nearly passed out in my chair listening to the damn song.
It's kind of like a soap opera. It's kind of like, oh no, they didn't, like, who, you know, what's going on? And to see that it's been going on though for so long, I think as fans, because we've had the industry, or not the industry but the genre itself, just so inundated with other types of, you know, genres of rap and not real rappers and, you know, the Tekashis and the, you know, the Little Pumps and all that. Since we've kind of had it inundated with all this other filler, we haven't really paid attention. I don't think. I know I will be honest in saying, as a fan, I have not really paid attention to the fact that there was this back and forth that went on between J. Cole, you know, I call him Aubrey, like he's my best friend, Drake and Kendrick. You know, I didn't, and I'll be honest, as far as who my top three would be right now, I don't see J. Cole there. Okay. I'm not, look, please, nobody cancel us. Don't be up. Those are J. Cole fans. But I just never put him in that category as a contender for the GOAT, you know, or the best right now. How about you? What would you say about the three of them?
Okay. So I've always been a Drake fan since he was in a wheelchair on Degrassi. Okay.
Yes.
And yes. I'm not gonna lie, like a lot of my early music when I was in high school, I did imitate a lot of Drake's style and how he rapped, you know, I learned from him. But I realized that Drake is not the same type of rapper as, say, like Kendrick Lamar, because they have two different stories to tell. Yes. So this is why this beef is kind of interesting to me, because these niggas is not the same. Like, they are
at
not.
At all. You know? At all.
So the I love beef that you is say crazy.
That. Yeah. I love that you say that, especially because it seems like Drake, I don't think I've realized it until doing research for this. He does kind of, I don't want to say latch on, but I don't know if he sees a talent in people that he's like, let me go ahead and work with them because they're about to blow up. you know what I'm saying? Or let me have my body of work with them, you know, just in the catalog of music and music history. Because, you know, if you look at it, he has kind of a lot of his features and stuff where I would probably consider it like Drake killed it. Like he took over whatever feature he was doing. Either those artists are no longer here or no longer relevant, or they are were already relevant. And, you know, he's kind of fell into their, you know, their bracket. For example, a Lil Wayne. I mean, of course, Lil Wayne, because, you know, that's who helped find him. But, you know, but even to go out of like the newer people, Jack Harlow, like, I still say that, what is that song? Kentucky, whatever, Kentucky Derby, is that what it's called? I know they were at the Kentucky Derby. But that one with Jack Harlow, Drake, I mean, what? Like, to me, flawless. You know, 21 Savage. I love fucking 21 Savage. Loved him for a long time. Churchill Downs. Same difference. I said Kentucky Derby. I think that's where the Kentucky Derby happens. But, you know, 21 Savage, which is, if we kind of go back to where like that has come from, like where all this animosity is, because a lot of people are like, wait, Future and Drake are beefing? Where did that come from? Well, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So they've been beefing on and off since about, since right after What a Time to Be Alive, which, another sidebar, some of Future's best work. I've said for years, Future only sounds good when he's on somebody else's track, like, or working with somebody. But I guess it was supposed to be a What a Time to Be Alive 2. And that's been pushed back a couple of years. And then he came out with Her Loss. And so that was like a slap in the face to Future. Like, wait a minute, how are you going to keep pushing back our stuff? You know, but yet you come out with a whole album with 21 Savage, who, let's be honest, 21 and Future, very close, you know, very close flows. You know, they both have like a tagline that they're known by, you know, it's just, it's easy to say, oh, this is a Future track or this is 21 Savage, but you can go ahead and like switch their songs or give them, you know, each words of their songs. And it's the same kind of delivery. But I love 21 too. I mean, 21, like if you don't know anything else, you can really sing along to a 21 song.
All
you
gotta do is 21. This song definitely does get the head
bobbing. I love them. But so the first thing was the album. The second thing was Over a Chick. Some of the lyrics that they both shot at each other, they've talked about pillow talking. And this was over, I can't remember the young lady's name, but she works at Booby or something.
It was a girl named Princess Diana or something
Princess,
like that.
There you go. I don't know how I forgot that, because I was like, oh, she's just going to go ahead and use that name, huh? But allegedly, they accused each other of pillow talking with her. And they both have lyrics where it's like, we're smashing her both. Like, so they're acknowledging this, you know, this is going on. That's crazy to me. One, y'all sound like some little girls. What do you mean? Like, what?
That's what I was saying. I'm like, you know, throughout the, since I was watching the videos and learning like how these beefs started, I'm like, this is childish. Like, this is ridiculous. This is what you guys are beefing off of when it comes to Future and Drake specifically. I'm just like, what is this?
Yeah. Because they do make good music. And now, what's the worst part is this chick that they're beefing over allegedly has a man. And she just be like, playing both of them and getting money and stuff, but she got her, like, she's not even serious about either one of them. So if that's true, like, come on, y'all, really? Like, come on. And respectfully to her, she's beautiful, but she's not like you can't find 100 of her. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, you guys get a love doll, like, get something if you really need, you know?
Seriously,
not that hard.
I don't think I would beef over anybody, male or female. If over a person that you're sleeping with that you're not intending to marry, you know, I don't see the point.
And you're playing with both of them. Like, hey, do you? If you and your man is okay with it and he knows it, if this is all true or whatever, do you? Kudos. However,
he's probably sitting back chilling.
Chilling. Just off their money. just off them.
For real.
But both of them, you guys could have anybody that you want. And so it's like, you guys are really letting that interfere with money, which is crazy to me, because that's crazy, you know? But Drake also has so much of it. I guess he doesn't care, you know?
Yeah.
So,
his future head was about to sue Drake over the $1.5 million that he would have lost if he couldn't continue on his tour.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that man, you about to let that man crash out over some, over a girl or whatever it was. And the fact that it was a chick, I was like, what? All this is happening over a chick?
Over a girl. Like, it started there, and it's starting over like stupid stuff. Like, you know, it really seems like high school, like legit. Like, but it seems like girls in high school, like, you're not supposed to like her because I don't like her. So if I don't like her, you don't like her. And if you know, it's kind of like that thing. Like, well, we were supposed to go to the mall together, not you and her. So same thing, but like, it's album wise, you know, and it's, you guys are not hurting by waiting a year and whatnot, because in my opinion, you guys are putting out the banger hits. You're the ones that have a little longevity right now, not compared to any of these other fly by night kind of rappers, you know, that may have a good hit, a TikTok hit or whatever else. You guys should feel like, I'm cemented, I'm okay, whether I wait a year, whether I wait 2 years or whatever, but you know, money's involved, and money affects human beings, period, but especially with men, like,
ego.
You know, so yeah, you know, so a little bit about, I wanted to ask you, do you know what two songs that Metro sampled for the Like That beat?
I don't know. There's two. Where are they?
So one is Easy Does It by Eazy-E.
Okay.
And the other one is, oh my gosh, I just had it the other day. You said what? No, it wasn't Kumo D, but it was an 80s song. What is that? What is that? What song was that? I just had my tongue and I haven't even smoked yet, which I'm about to, by the way. So what do you think out of while I'm looking this up, what do you think are, out of Kendrick's verse, what line, what bar, what like floored you? What made you go, oh shit? Like,
it was really, and I actually have it right here. Hold on.
Everlasting Bass. That's what it is. By Rodney G and Rodney O and Joe Cooley. Everlasting Bass. Dun, 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 dun. That one right there. So he sampled those two.
I did notice that the song did seem like an old school beat.
It's very, yeah, both of them. One, that's genius to me. I think that he did. Who would have ever thought to like sample those two together and that they go together so well? And he was able to just create this great, I mean, this crazy beat, like the bass behind it. It's to me, like I said, flawless. The track itself, flawless. But yes, the words, especially Kendrick's part, I mean, that could be literally the whole song. He could just do that. What was that, 16 bars maybe? Was 16 bars they did, maybe 32? And Kendrick's part?
The part that got me with this is when he was talking about, he said, lost too many soldiers not to play it safe. If you walk around with a stick, it ain't Andre 3K. Think I won't drop the location. I still got PTSD. Motherfucker, the big three niggas just big me. I was like, oh my God.
I mean, like, and that's crazy because I listened to First Person Shooter today. What's funny is, you know, I use YouTube Music. That's how I stream. YouTube Music's playing with me because it knew, like, let me go ahead and, like, it just knew I was on a ride. I was on a 30-minute ride to a demo. And it must have been like, let me go ahead and allow you, now you're thinking about it, really hear this back to back. So First Person Shooter came on right after Like That. And I was like, oh, that's where the big three. Okay, that's where that came from. Like, it's like he went line by line of J. Cole's verse, you know, and on the First Person Shooter song, and was like, I'm gonna answer it here and here and like this and like this. Like, the pettiest but the best response. I think that definitely, if there has to be a who won right now, you know, it's 1-0, because I don't think they were expecting, I'm sure there was maybe whispers, but I do not think they were expecting Metro and Future to get Kendrick to come. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't even think of Future and Kendrick to do, like, to even, Kendrick don't even know who Future is. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're just, once again, different rappers, different people. So, yeah, I probably have to agree. I think that line, and then when he says about the K-9s, or K-9, babe, you remember that part when he was like, surrounded by that part? It's, I mean, the storytelling that he does behind it, just like any of his other songs, or, you know, his albums, where he does a great job of storytelling. You, like you said, not only you felt the vitriol, you know, you felt, you know, the passion that he had behind it. It's true hate, or I'm not gonna say hate, but disdain for them, or whether it's, let's get hip hop back to what hip hop used to be, which is about the competition, but not in a way where we're talking about killing each other.
Yeah, like this feels like an old school competition. You know, it feels like two rappers kind of show their hands, right?
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, I feel like he wants Drake and he wants J. Cole, whoever, to come out and verbally and say whatever they need to say instead of dropping hints.
It
goes back to like what you were saying, how all these other rappers out here, they are kind of like clouding the scene almost and making people feel like, you know what, I don't even need to listen to this crap no more.
Because
that's really how it is. Because if I'm being quite honest, I haven't really sat down and like, oh, you know what, let me listen to a certain artist. Because I like to listen to real artists like Kendrick.
I like
to listen to J. Cole. I like to listen to Drake. You know, these are artists to me. I don't really listen to like Lil Pump or whoever the fuck. Like, I don't listen to these artists.
And I get you. Yeah. And like, mad respect, because I know that he's done very successful for himself. And Ole Choppa, NBA Youngboy. Nah. You know, maybe if you have a verse on somebody, a bigger song or whatever, but that's not who I'm checking for. I will tell you, the newest probably artist that I am checking for that I really, really, really like and I think has a lot of talent is that that Mexican OT.
Oh yeah, he fire. I'm listening to this.
Fire.
The way that he raps long time ago.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm loving his growth, and I'm just loving that you see, like, he's very honest about his story, you know, and that you can see what he's working hard for. And that he's different. I mean, who have we had that's been a Mexican that's been big in rap?
I can't name one.
Now, if we talk about Northern California rap, we had A Lighter Shade of Brown. We had, they were the ones that sang Back to the Hotel, right? Yeah. Who else? Back to the Hotel. Oh my gosh, you know that song, baby. Lighter Shade of Brown did, okay, so you Google that while I, yes. So, and then we had La Raza, but that wasn't, like, I'm dating myself here. I don't even think you were born when that song came out.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is for La Raza. Like, it was, yeah, I'm, if you guys were around the time of the jukebox, then you know what song I'm talking about. On a Sunday afternoon was, yeah. Yeah, so who was Back to the Hotel? And who was the other ones? Oh my gosh, that B-Real was from. B-Real's from House of Pain? No, I thought House of Pain was, they were the Irish ones. I'm a B-Real. B-Real was real. I think they were the only other. Yeah. So those are the only ones that I could think of, but honestly, In Too Deep. Boom. There you go. So once again, Northern California, 90s, you know, they were cracking. I mean, I should have known because they actually taped their video, one of their videos in William Land Park. You said what, babe? Cypress Hill. Okay, so that's probably the most widely known, I would say, successful, you know, rappers that have been Latino. And I know there's a lot now, but they're like geographically popular, you know, LA, Central California. I'm sure there's some others, but that Mexican OT, and he's young. We're definitely going to be talking about him. I don't think he's going to be a, you know, 2-3 album type deal.
He's definitely on the map. Like, he got Texas turned all the way up.
Yes. And so it kind of reminds me of how we got into, you know, like Bun B, and how we got into all that, like that Southern kind of rap for that bit of time in, you know, in our rap history, recent rap history. So in the mid 2000s, you know, 2010s, there was a little bit of that focus. So I'm seeing that he's kind of bringing that back to the map. You know, Paul Wall, that whole, and Paul Wall helped him, you know, kind of blow up. So I love him. I do love him, but I'm with you there on anybody else I'm not really checking for. So I did want to ask, you know, we've talked about, I think that the consensus throughout the hip hop community or any entertainment community, anybody talking about this, is that Kendrick won. And I like what you said. Kendrick is only presenting it in a fact like, your turn. Now you come back, especially J. Cole, because this album that he's coming out with is supposed to be his last. So He's definitely challenging. He's something like a, you know, I think Joyner Lucas is probably the hip hop artist or the rapper in the past recent years that has also like, now your turn. Like, I'm putting this out there. Show that you're as good as I am. Russ, another one, you know, but I don't think Russ is as respected as he should be. But I definitely agree with, you know, this is an invitation. Like,
yeah. You know, let me see what you got. You know? Yeah. And everybody, you know, waiting too. Like, when Drake gonna drop something?
I mean, and then Drake's done what he does. And I love Drake. Like I said, I love Drake, but he definitely does this little light skin stuff where he comments through social media. So it could also be just optics of people looking at his posts and saying, well, this has to relate to this. But he made like a very passive aggressive IG post that could be taken as, you know, his response. But I mean, look, how many battles or beefs has Drake been in where he's all of a sudden dropped some shit at 12:02, you know, at night, much like on like tonight on a Friday, and, you know, just shut everybody up for the weekend. You know what I'm saying? Just shut the world down. Meek Mill, back to back, all that shit came out. Every time he came out with it, it came out at after 12 on like a Thursday or Friday night, if I'm not mistaken. And it was kind of like, he knows what he's doing, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't see him being quiet. That's like Eminem not responding to Benzino after all these years. Like, Eminem doesn't need to. He has so much work that it should shut Benzino up. But yeah, Benzino can't shut the fuck up. So what is Eminem supposed to do? You know, just another nail in the coffin for Benzino. But that's, once again, a different episode. So I did want to ask you, as far as the big three, you know, we've kind of talked about, you know, in our opinion, whether or not they're the big three. I feel like as far as current rap, and if we have to say that somebody is a GOAT, Kanye's taken out of the conversation, you know, right now. Who else do you have? You know, like, Lil Wayne's already solidified himself. Eminem, Jay-Z, we already have those that are solidified. But if we have to say that right now, in the past 10, 15 years of rap, who's really the one that's, you know, the GOAT or the big three? I would concede to say, yes, it's these three. My question to you is, by each one of the big three, what is your opinion? And what is your absolute favorite song by each three of the gentlemen?
Oh man, okay, I'm definitely gonna have to go and Google their track list because I don't remember names that well. But so for me, I'm gonna start with Drake because I'm more familiar with him.
Mm-hmm.
Started From the Bottom is one of my favorite songs of his.
Okay.
And simply because, you know, he went back to the place that I grew up and did a record there. I remember vividly him being in Vallejo, California, shooting his video, and me wanted to be there so bad. I feel like Drake is the type of artist who's able to change up his flow. Like, he can do hardcore rap, but he can also make those love songs. And he just changes up his style, you know, effortlessly. And that's what I love about him. Now, J. Cole, he is one of those type of artists who, he talks about stuff that he's actually been through and stuff that's actually going on. You know, he talked about his life. And I don't think he wants to be the type of rapper to be flashy or be in the forefront. Like, he's okay with being in the background and dropping his stuff because he's making it for people who are made for him, you know?
Yeah.
He has his own audience, so he doesn't care about what anybody else got going on.
Yeah. And then he, like, quit or, like, take a break and go play soccer or basketball or some shit.
He
like,
did. He's
like, I'm going to try this now. Yeah.
He did. He quit for a while, focused on his family, and then he came back. You know, he been said he wanted to get out the game, and now he's about to drop his last album. Like, I can't wait for it. You know, that to me, everybody is a GOAT in like their own way.
Yeah.
And they all have their own purpose. And Kendrick, I feel like he is what rap used to be for me. You know, he is the guy keeping what we know as rap from the 90s and the early 2000s, at least for me, he's what rap is. He talks about the struggle of people around him, his own. He tries to bring awareness to things. You know, I remember when I was watching the video, he was talking about how he's not used. He had to get used to the crowd he was generating, you know? And that's because he has he kind of I'm not trying to relate him to Nipsey, but he reminds me of Nipsey in a way that he wants to stay to his people and he wants to be there for his people that he grew up around.
Like you I don't think he ever did it to become rich and famous. He did it because it was the way to tell a story. And yes, maybe that would be a way out for him and be able to start like his own label or whatnot. And so the episode or the story that you're talking about, and we'll share the links to a couple of these other videos, you know, in the show liners and stuff, but for you guys to check on. But I liked how it kind of broke down. I never realized that Drake kind of took him under his wing and showed him a different side, because at that point, Drake was doing Drake, partying, girls, strip clubs and whatever. And Kendrick wasn't from that. Kendrick was still very like, I'm still waiting on my first advance, you know, type shit. Like he was still very humble and still trying to figure out who he was going to be within the industry. And Drake showed him a little different way of that by taking him on tour and whatnot. So I think that, like you said, that caused not a dissension, but allowed them to see just how different they were and how different their journeys and their paths were supposed to be within this industry. So then that, I think, naturally, organically kind of made like a, this kind of, you know, back and forth, you know, this beef because they are so different. Although they do have a history in the past together. I could definitely see, you know, these Negroes being 60, 70 years old and we find out that they're best friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they had this journey together that helped them to be who they're going to be when it's finally said and done. You know what I'm saying? When they're put into that, you know, that Hall of Fame, what got them into that position. So,
and then I remember a part where he was saying, Kendrick was saying how like the people who are affected by it, basically you're saying that this is for you. If you got a problem with what I'm saying, then this is for you. Yeah. And then the person that responded to it was Drake. But that was said before I knew that they had a long-standing issue going on. Because other people have been mentioned in Kendrick Lamar's songs, like Big Sean and a few other people. Yeah. And nobody really responded. Everybody was like, oh, well, you know, this happens in rap. You know, people are going to come for you, you know, and shouldn't take it so hard.
Yeah, they took it with a grain of salt. So part of that makes me feel like, you know, we always can make the joke that, yes, you know, light skins are sensitive, respectfully. And Drake is definitely one. I mean, how many songs we've heard about strippers that he loved or girls that he loved or, you know, whatever else. So he does have that side of him. That's who he is. That's innate in him. I think that's what he is. So part of me wonders, was it sensitivity or was it a plan? You know what I'm saying? For him to be like, well, I'm going to be the only one to respond. So let's create this narrative that I think that does kind of add to his demeanor, or, you know, he's like, he can be that sensitive one, but he can also come back with some jabs and get at you. You know what I'm saying? So I think I think it was a mastermind plan, like a master plan for him to be like, well, let me go ahead and set myself up as this guy who can talk shit or speaks up when nobody else is going to speak up, because I'm that guy. Like, I'm the one that speaks up for the people that are the underdogs. So I'm wondering, like, because I feel like a lot of his movements are created by his emotions, but I also feel like he knows what role he plays. Like, he's not a villain. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can play either side. So that just makes me wonder. But it's interesting because it's how everybody responds to it, which makes this even a conversation, you know? I think that you either love Drake or you hate Drake. And if you hate Drake, it's because you think that he's a weenie, he's sensitive, he starts stuff, he inserts himself into something. But then if you're a fan of his, then you see that as kind of like something that he has to do. Like, they're all playing this role, you know, overall.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, because while watching these videos and stuff, they were saying how, like, one guy was saying how, like, Drake is, like, always nice to Kendrick. You know, no matter how many disses he gets, Drake is going to come out with a post or a memory about him and Kendrick, you know. And I'm like, If he keeps trying to make the peace, why does Kendrick keep coming after him? And the thing that I think it is Kendrick wants Drake to, you know, he wants him to like really show his ass and show that he can be in the rap game, you know?
And step up, yeah.
That's what Kendrick is waiting for. Like he's waiting for Drake to really drop bars.
Like he's saying, I'm a true adversary. Like everybody else she's gone against. It's kind of like 50 Cent going against Ja Rule. It still to this day, you lost bad. That was a bad, like for you to go against him at that time, like maybe you had confidence in yourself, but you should not have done that. So it's kind of that thing where like maybe, you know, and even I think if you have an overall look at it, anybody that Drake has gone against, he has kind of sunned. And so maybe now, you know, if it is the big three, then let the big three show that they're really, you know what I'm saying? That they're true adversaries, that they really deserve to be in that position. That's kind of deep. Like, and I can definitely see that. And if that is honestly the case, man, kudos to you, Kendrick, because that is really creating good old school kind of hip hop without the gunshots and the bloodshed and anything else happening. You know, this is just true. Let's see the lyricism. Let's see your creativity. Yeah. Let's see your talent. Let's see that you really belong in the big three. And with that ending, with him saying it's not big three, it's just me, he's basically saying this is where it is right now. So if you guys want the other two spots, or if we want those to be three spots, come back to what I just said. So, hey.
And that's what we're waiting for.
Right. So I'm going to put this in the universe, okay? Kendrick, hear this episode somehow and go, they got it. Spot on. They get it, right? You know, that'd be fire. But yeah, I know the favorite songs that we have. It's very hard for me. I posed that question and I was like, ooh, I love Drake. I don't know which one would be my number one song. But one song that I listened to religiously, and it was on my like most played songs of last year. It's actually off of What a Time to Be Alive with Future. And it speaks to me so much. And it's crazy that it speaks to me. And this is an example of how stuff can speak to you and you can relate to it without actually relating to it. Because there's a lot about the song or like what they rap about that I can't relate to. I mean, come on. I'm a Black woman that grew up in a very, very, very suburban, you know, almost farming type of town. You know, other than just having the regular adult kind of like struggles, I can't super relate to it. But just Drake's verse, I'm gonna say this. So I'm gonna put all the things that speak to me. I can't even put it down to one song. The verses that he talks about when he's like, I was being held back. Like I had this mission, I had this dream. I knew that I was supposed to be where I was supposed to be. I was always ready for it, but I had people hold me back. And I, you know, despite that, I came back and I did better. Or I came, you know, I got to the top spot. Anything that's kind of motivating, but he's also talking a little shit in, that's the shit for me. But also like Diamonds Dancing, Plastic Bag, like that, songs like that. The Real Her, you know, my gosh, anything with Janae Aoko, like I think is just fire. Pound Cake, I could just go on. So I'm a Drake fan. Now, as far as J. Cole, Wet Dreams, love that song. I think that was great storytelling. And actually, it helped me to go, is that really what boys go through as being a boy mom? I was like, is that a real experience? And my husband was like, yeah, like everything he said, that's what boys in puberty and teenage boys, that's what they think and what they go through. And it was cool to just kind of see, if you don't remember that song, that's when he's talking about him losing his virginity and he kind of, you know, lied to the girl the whole time saying he was all experienced and he was not. And that song to me, that's fire. I know to other people that's probably like, oh, that's a commercial song or whatever. But to me, that is it. As far as the Kendrick Lamar song, I think he has one called Loyalty, but I think he has one called Lust. I think.
I definitely know about the Loyalty song.
Yeah, because I'm singing that in my head right now. Yeah, Lust by Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that's my favorite. Anything off of I think Mad City is probably a lot of people's favorite. I mean, that's why he won. You know, he should have been winning the Grammy and shit like that for that year. But that to me, and I think the reason why those, anything that's kind of older, is because that's when, to me, if we have to say the big three, they were really thirsty. Like, you could see then they were hungry, they were thirsty. It was different. It was fresh. It was, you know, and they all had their lane to stay on. Now that they're grown men and they're getting later in life and, you know, in their 30s, you definitely see the growth and how they are different people. So I like the idea, instead of thinking that this is like some, you know, petty social media, internet shit that's going on, that it's really with the intention of creating some good, competitive, you know, creative, lyrical bars, fire, nylon type, you know, rap. You know, rap that we could be very proud of, and that in the next 50 years of when rap is celebrated, you know, this is a story, or, you know, a chapter that just solidifies or continue to solidify hip hop as a musical genre.
Because to me, it's been a long time that I've been like actually glued to a rap beef or whatever, you know, trying to see what's happening next. This stuff is everywhere, you know, and it brings excitement to all the artists, because everybody's going back to the songs to look at the lyrics to see. Because when we listen to songs and I hear certain stuff, I'm like, damn, what is he talking about? And you're like, you don't know, really. And then you find out that he was talking about so-and-so. And you're like, damn, what? So let me go back and listen to this and see what he had to say. Like, it causes us to have want to look at the paper trail, you know?
Yes. I mean, it's the same way, like, so that one of the videos we were talking about, I think they went over some lyrics that, to me, I thought the entire song was about a chick. You know, where he says, I don't know why you lying, but your shit is not that inspiring. Bank account just looking like I'm ready for early retirement. Like, it's stuff like, I was like, could be. To me, just the overall essence of the song seemed like he was maybe talking to a chick. Like, hey, no. He's fucking talking to Kendrick Lamar that whole time. You know, it's so... It's good for genre overall, for the community, those hip hop lovers, because like you said, it allows people to go back and kind of respect and listen to the music again and remember why that album was one of your favorites or why it's even on your playlist, you know? So it definitely, I give kudos to all of them. You know, I hope that it continues to produce songs and, you know, reactions and like everything that's on the internet right now, people just living in this. I hope we have a whole year, you know, that 2024 ends up, you know, started with Cat Williams and, you know, this whole Diddy thing going on, but hopefully we'll have this as continuance with something that is, you know, that source of energy of positivity. And like I said, just bringing it back to good competitive rap, you know, and hip hop, and showing the talent of these three men, because they are very talented. So I love your insight on it. I love that. You know, right now, I feel like I went into it with, ooh, what is this mess? And, you know, like we said, them being petty and beefing over a chick and whatnot, it kind of, you know, taking future out of it, it kind of brings it all to fruition where there's can be, and hopefully there is a positive, you know, outcome from all of this, and that we're all going to benefit from it with some really good timeless music.
Yeah, so, I think we are. I think it's going to be great. And, you know, everybody's looking forward to J. Cole dropping something if he does. And Drake, we all know he might. You know, like you said, he might do a 12 a.m. drop like that.
You know,
he's definitely
going
to pull some light skin shit. He's not letting this go
at all. At all.
It's coming.
Like, yeah. And he's probably going to come up with somebody that we're like, how did he get him? Somebody that nobody's going to think of, like somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like, either he's just going to come out with some bars and just, it's going to be different than like the Pusha T, you know, like them telling on each other and that back and forth. This is completely different. It's definitely going to be on some other. This is what, you know, maybe it's going to be a lot of, you know, braggadocious stuff about this is what I've done. These are the hits that I've made. These are the, you know, accolades that I've received. But it's going to be in a way that is going to be, like I said, people are going to go back and these are lyrics that people are going to cherish and quote, you know, kind of like, you know, Tupac, hit him up. Everybody knows that. Earthstar, bitch, and the click you claim. Like, just, there are certain things that within our musical history, especially within hip hop, that are embedded in into our society and into our vernacular, and just, you know, everybody roll up some really good weed and sit back, you know, and just listen to these lyrics and just, you know, put yourself in a space where you're a fan, and you're a fan that is just a, you know, somebody that's sitting back watching and waiting, you know, and excited about it. And that's what makes it good. You know, that's what once again, what makes music such an important part of our life is an experience in a time like this. So I'm happy that this has happened, because this, you know, was a really good topic, I think, for this first episode. And, you know, I think over this year, we're going to have a lot more topics about the new album that's out, the new song, you know, the response. It's going to be, I think, a really good, positive year with the music, and we need it, because music has been a little, you know, hit and miss here and there.
I'm excited to see what else we talk about, because this gives me a reason to really dive back into music in the way that I used to be, you know, and not just sit back and ignore the songs that come out or anything like that. Like, I'm excited to do this.
Yeah,
this
I am
definitely going to be a journey.
Yes, it's going to be exciting. So I think, you know, we definitely have a lot of things to talk about. Cardi B's new, this, you know, coming out with a lot of new, a new songs, a project, I hear. You know, we have a couple of other genres. The word is that Britney Spears is working on something. I don't know how true that is. I don't know if that's probably the best. If you look at her Instagram every day, love to her though. Justin Timberlake, I'm excited about his new album. It's not 2020, you know, that album is flawless to me, but he has some bangers on this one. So we have a lot of, you know, music and things to cover. And I'm excited to do this with you. I'm excited for all of you to join this journey and to be a part of it. You know, please follow us on our Instagrams, the Mary Jane Maven, our YouTube. Hubby will go ahead and put that all down. And if you guys haven't listened to other podcasts, he is the producer, so you will occasionally hear him, you know, chime in. But we will be doing this. I think we're going to try to do it, because we are very busy. But I think what's realistic is probably twice a month right now, until we see, you know, kind of where things are going. But I'm excited. Like I said, I'm excited to go over this. If you guys have any suggestions of any topics you guys would like to join us, please drop us a line. You can go through either one of our Instagram or YouTube accounts and get in contact with us. I am super excited about this. And I want to thank you so much for joining me, my guest co-host. And I'm going to go ahead and leave you. What I'd like to do is, pretty much every podcast I host, I like to provide with a mic drop. Just that little, you know, that little bit of information, whether it's a nugget of, you know, info, whether it's a song lyric, whatever it is. We're going to go ahead and let Shelly leave us with our word of wisdom or our mic drop tonight.
Mic drop? I'm kind of put on the spot.
I do that. You should know that as well already. But no, whatever it is, it could be a, you know.
It could be anything. This is my first mic drop, so okay. I guess the one thing that I will leave you guys with is, don't let anybody disturb your energy. All right, you know, be you to the fullest that you can be. Enjoy life and do the things that you love, because that's the moment in life that I'm in right now. So that's my mic drop to y'all.
Yes,
and yeah, man, just protect your energy at all times.
Yes, and always keep yourself in mind. Know your worth and add tax. I'm going to add on to that. That is a fantastic mic drop. So until next time, everybody, we want to thank you so much for joining us. And Shelly, I want to thank you so much for your, you know, like I said, being a guest host. I'm loving this opportunity that we have. And to the hubby, thank you so much as well for your great production skills. We will see you next time. Music and Mary Jane.
Peace out. Bye, guys.